you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow Alex Ross on the SDR show? This week we have Jared Reddick from Bowling for Soup. 1985. You remember that song? Of course you do. Cool dude. Fun interview. I remember we do this every single Wednesday, every Saturday, live at GasDigitalNetwork.com. You could have watched it live for free and heard this 5 days earlier. Or if you sign up at GasDigitalNetwork.com using the code SDR, it is immediately available sans commercials on our website in HD video as well. Or you wait the 5 days, you listen to it on any podcast aggregator, or watch it on YouTube. That's all I care about, is getting the love out there. Also, don't forget, I am hosting this big event. It is Stone Temple Pilots. It is King's X, Steven Adler, the band ZO2, the benefit for David Z. It's an auction as well. Will all be happening. It's in Long Island, July 30th. It is happening in the Paramount Theater in Long Island. So please join us. Big J is going. I'm going. I think Shannon's coming. A lot of Gas Digital people are going to be there. Stone Temple Pilots with the new singer. It's going to be fun. So come check that out. But here it is right now, the Bowling for Soup episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back with me once again with his curtain that just doesn't quite fill the whole window. It is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
It doesn't, but I mean, this thing, I could have fixed it a little. You could have told me before.
No, it's good.
Pre-production.
I like it. There was no one.
Cracking the window. It's like that Aussie lyric.
Okay, fair enough. So now, here's how we'll introduce this dude. I mean, the band has been around for nearly 30 years, which is pretty wild. He just recently turned 50. 11th album of the band. First, a big solo album that he's going Texas style. Also, he is the host of the Jared Goes to the Movies podcast. We're listening to a couple episodes. And a big tour going on soon called the Back for the Attack Tour with Less Than Jake and the Aquabats. You might know him as the voice of Chuck E. Cheese or part of Phineas and Ferb. God damn it, it is Jared Reddick. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's you just did that thing where you name off like most of the stuff that I do, and it totally gives my wife a lot of anxiety. So I'll make sure she doesn't listen to this program.
Because you are a busy man. You do so much. Does that freak them out? Is that what it is?
It is a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you list it all out there, it's pretty, and you did, I mean, you got most of it, but you know, there's just a lot of stuff. Yeah. I mean, but I just like being busy. If I'm being honest, I don't have any hobbies. You know, I like doing stuff. You know,
I mean, looking behind you, it looks like hobbies would be hanging shit on your wall. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Keep busy.
You get a lot of cool flyers and a lot, you know, I mean, luckily for me, I got a bunch of gold records, you know. You got to put them somewhere.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Take that, Ralph.
I have two hobby, baby. Records. I have two platinum records. That's something, right?
I got a couple of triple platinums.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Hey, you got five platinums, Ralph, and then he's going to tell you he's got a diamond record hanging the fuck up.
You know what's funny? By the way, Jared, I heard something that made me laugh that you said in high school you were teased. I never would have made this connection that your name, if your last name, if you say it slowly, it's Red Dick, which I don't know what...
Put the hyphen in there. Yeah.
Did that really, was that a real torture growing up?
Yeah. You know, it only sucked like in third grade when everybody figured it out. And then again in seventh grade when I switched schools.
Okay.
To go to junior high or whatever. Like by the time high school rolled around, you'd kind of get it every once in a while, but I was also pretty quick by seventh grade or whatever. So most people didn't really mess with me too much.
But. So, I mean, again, we're about the same age. I'm 2 years older than you. But when I was about 12, 13, the book that was synonymous with women in their early preteens, like the twilight of my generation, was a book called Forever by Judy Blume. And in it, the main love interest, names his penis Ralph. So forgetting about the fact that in the South, Ralph means vomit, forgetting about the fact that Eddie Murphy put out the, hey there, Ralphie boy, let me fuck you in the ass comedy thing that would both be no ending ever. Then it was Ralph. Oh, like the penis. That was what I had to deal with. Much worse than you.
Yeah. You know, I get that. I don't know about much worse because my first name also is Jarrett and it rhymes with carrot and parrot. And so it was just kind of a constant situation of plus I was a fat kid.
Okay. I was a tall, gorky kid. Yes, James, you want to make fun of me? Go ahead.
Well, two things. First of all, the pissing contest continues now with who got it worse in high school. Also, let's be honest, a great punk name, Parrot Red Dick, is fucking, would have been the shit.
Yeah, you missed out.
Shabby. Not
Parrot Red Dick.
Bucks is bowling. Basically, Ralph, is bowling for soup or shit.
If you just listen to this guy, you know what I had to deal with. That's basically what that he basically sounds like every seventh grader I ran across.
I clearly got picked on too. I had no tooth here. Let me join this party. I had no tooth here from age 8 to 14. And my name's Jamie, that fucking girl's name. What are we doing here? There was no gender equality. I just made up a word. Equality, whatever.
And yet somehow we all gravitated towards some sort of field of entertainment. So it tells you maybe that it works. Bullying is not such a bad idea. I want to tell you something quick, funny, is that I told my business partner that we were about to have you on. And he said, tell Jared that he ruined my son's Christmas because he was playing punk rock Christmas and Father Christmas came on and the line about if it Santa was my dad. And you replied to him on Twitter about it because he wrote that it ruined his son's Christmas. And he goes, oh, Jared replied to me on Twitter. So I don't know if you remember that moment, but he put the video up online.
Man, I so remember it. But the thing is that's not my song.
I know. That's what I told him. I don't know if he knew that. I said, that's the Kinks.
Yeah, that's a cover. I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. Everybody knows that if you're going to buy anything from Bowling for Soup or play, you really should screen everything, you know, because most of it is sort of like, you know, HBO Cinemax or whatever. But every once in a while, there's like one of those where you're like, you know what, maybe I'll not play this one.
And maybe I'll read the lyrics before I play it for my 7-year-old. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not like I'm hard to understand either. You know,
it's also you said that you when you were 30, 40, and now 50, you thought to yourself, am I going to still be making fart joke songs and stuff like that when I'm this age? And it keeps happening. When I started in radio, I was like 30 something, and then up to like 44, I was doing. You're a big fan of 80s rock. You're wearing a Guns N' Roses T-shirt. I had a rock show. It was all over the country called the Tour Bus, and it was all 80s rock based. And my two interns said to me one day, they were so happy when they met me because I was 40 at the time. And like they made it okay to make fart jokes. So it's still got to feel, you're proud in front of your kids that you still make fart jokes at this age.
I mean, the other thing really with that quote is too, is that like one of our biggest hits is called High School Never Ends. So like, I'm 50 years old and singing about high school and doing fart jokes. And like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where you just, I guess, you know, I mean, I'm sure you do this, right? Like you turn 50 or whatever, and you sort of look at what 50-year-olds looked like when you were 20 or like what the entertainers were like at 50 then or whatever. And you're looking and you kind of go, okay, well, I guess we just get another couple of years or whatever, you know, or another 10 or 20. Yeah. It's very strange. I don't really understand why it's like this, but I'm certainly happy that it is.
Do you know that I looked it up the other day? I don't know why I looked this up. Mr. Roper on Three's Company. I think of him, that's a 70-year-old, you know, he was like 44 when he was filming that. How hard is that to believe?
Yeah. It's so crazy to me, like that kind of stuff. And then you like, again, you're a metal guy. So like, for me, you think back to what rock stars were in the 80s and like Motley Crue, you know, those guys were all, except for Mick, they were in their early 20s, you know, and then like Dawkins, same except for Don, you know, like early. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys were like 19, 20, 21 years old. And it's like, man, no wonder they got into so much shit.
Of course.
It's the equivalent of giving, you know, the 19-year-old kid the $25 billion sports contract, right? You know, they're like,
Wait. Of course, this is not going to end well in one way, shape, or form. Right. Yeah, I was a strip club DJ at like 22, 23, and I was making thousands of dollars a night, where I was like thinking, thank God I am not into drugs, or else I probably wouldn't have seen the other side of that. You know, right. I saved my money where everybody else was doing cocaine out the yin yang because they were making so much goddamn money at 22, 23 when you have no sense of that part of your brain that thinks about long-term consequences isn't even fully formed yet.
Very similar when we decided to go for this, and I had three bar gigs a week, and I played basically, I would get like $100 in cash and a tab, but I got tips, and I was making $700, $800, $900 a night, and I was homeless. I just stayed with whoever or whatever, so I just had money all the time, and it's the same exact thing. I'm so glad I didn't do drugs because so many of my friends got into that shit, and I had the means to do it. You know, like, I could have had an amazing habit. You know, seriously. I mean, as far as like. Really, really getting completely fucked. I was, yeah. I had everything I needed.
I used to be a DJ at a big rock club in New York called The Limelight every Sunday night for Rock and Roll Church. And every week I would be handed some sort of drug and I would just say, thanks, dude. And then give it to someone else because I wasn't going to do it. You, by the way, just to get back on topic here, you originally wanted to be a stand-up. I guess that's where the comedy and the lyrics and the music came from because that was your initial goal. And my question to you is, what's the fucking deal with singers wanting to be comics and comics wanted to be singers?
Yeah, it's super
James weird. Is one of them.
It's a whole thing. There's just somebody should write a book on this because it's not just comics. It's actors. You know, it's like obviously comics want to be either musicians or actors. Sometimes they go and do either one. And then actors always want to be musicians and drummers always want to be lead singers. It's like it's just like nobody's ever happy with where they end up. But, you know, for me, that was just, you know, really. I was going to go to school to be an actor and I literally like got down to the wire and I was like, what am I going to do with a degree in acting? You know, like I really, it did not.
You end up teaching acting.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. I said, I do not want to be a teacher. And I think I would be terrible at waiting tables. So I'm just not, I'm just like, I just went for business. You know, and I was an entrepreneur. I actually had businesses from the time I was 17.
Didn't you own a chain of toy stores? Is that right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I owned several small toy stores that were, most of them were just open during Christmas season. And I would just go set up. Oh, it's basically the model was like the Spirit Halloween store. You know, it's that's the model.
A pop up for Christmas toys.
Pop up for Christmas. And really my moneymaker was stocking stuffers because that's the one thing that the chains couldn't compete with me on was things that somebody could buy for a, you know, they could come in and buy 50 or 60 things for a buck.
Right.
That each of them were a dollar. I mean, you know, so basically sort of like the Five Below model now, you know, basically it's, they've all just taken my fucking ideas now and just going with them. But yeah, I went to school for business and got 2 degrees. And then that's when I had decided that we were going to give this whole band thing a shot, but you know, it ended up working out because obviously the business side of things and then having the toy stores. And then after the toy stores, I got into home building for a while. Then I got into building above ground swimming pools. And at that point I had 2 degrees, 3 failed companies. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to take a break and just go play music for a while.
And it's funny that you also then bad enough that you're spreading yourself thin with there, but you started on drums, then moved to guitar and became a singer and tried to learn piano. You were still trying to figure out where's your place going to be in music, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was, I started out on drums and then, I'm from Wichita Falls, Texas, and it's a real small town. So it's basically you sort of played whatever somebody needed at the time, you know, and it was always my band because I've always been sort of just a self-starter and, you know, one of those guys that's always got a new idea. And so it was like, whatever I couldn't find, I would just do. Mm-hmm. And then it became after I started singing, then it became a thing about songwriting. I couldn't really get anybody that was in my band to sit down and write songs. And so I was like, I'll just go buy a guitar and start writing songs. And then, I was still in metal then. And mm-hmm. It was then really when I heard punk rock, 91, 92, when I heard the Descendants and the Ramones for the first time.
You're speaking James's language, by the way, that makes it
R-A-M. Look at what I'm wearing right here, baby. Look at this.
Yeah. Oh, see,
the greatest record of all time, baby. But what do you know about brand new Cadillac?
Once I realized that there was this heavy, I knew like what Black Flag was and, you know, things like that. But once I heard that there was like this melodic music that could be heavy and fast, but still you could be funny and you could, you know, it was just, you know, easy lyric. Like, you know, I was into like real heavy metal, like Obituary and Death, where like you had to have a freaking medical dictionary.
I saw Obituary with Prong not that long ago in Irving Plaza. It was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh my God. Yeah. I saw, my latest one of those is,
And Black Label, by the way, and Black Label Society. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
I haven't seen any of those kind of bands in a while. I saw, Voivod a few years ago at South by Southwest.
I saw them when Jason was in the band briefly. I got to see them then.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Now, this is a question. So you said you really never made money with records at all. That's part of the business. And it took like 8 years before the band hit. Right. We recently had on Little Steven, who also said it took them like 10 years before they hit. And we had the Black Keys on, which took like 6 albums before they hit, or 5 albums. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing that doesn't happen anymore, because people don't go see a band just because, oh, there's rock bands playing tonight, let's go see rock bands.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore. So do you think that the art of cultivating a career like yours that goes on for almost 30 years and has 11 records, it's probably not going to happen anymore. Is that a fair assessment? Unless you're already established.
There's so many levels to that question. First, I mean, you're so spot on that, like, people don't go watch music for discovery anymore.
Right.
So the touring aspect of things is completely over. I mean, you really only go tour if people will come see you.
Right.
You don't go on tour to put yourself on display so people can decide if they like you or not.
The way you did it, which was a 100%. Great thing.
Yeah. I mean, we would literally leave. I mean, so we started in 94. You know, when we got into like 97, 98, 99, we would literally pull out of the driveway and be gone 6 months, and we'd have a few weeks of shows booked, but like, it was just, let's go get some shows, you know, and go up in town, and you would find the happening spot and just ask. You know, I had a sales pitch. I would go in band places that it was obvious that they had bands some nights, and you know, bar and grill type places, and I'd say, hey, do you got a band? And they'd play it tonight, and they'd say, no, we don't have one tonight. I'm like, you want one? And you can have one for 4 hamburgers and a case of beer, you know? And
that's great. And that's how you get better as a band, for sure.
It worked all the time. And and what would happen was, is the staff would like call their friends and be like, hey, there's this band from Dallas. They just came in. And we, you know, we'd end up with 15, 20 people there. Right. And then the next time we'd come through, there'd be 50. And then the next time 75. And so, okay, so back to your question, that stuff doesn't really exist anymore. And then the whole like having to learn it and grind it out, you know, again, we started in 94. Our first hit was in 2003. We didn't get a record deal till 2000.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and a lot of stuff you've got to live through to get there. So what I always wonder, and I guess this is sort of your answering your question with a question, like, is it even possible ever to have another U2? Like, can we ever have a Metallica ever again?
Yeah, because I don't think so.
Our attention spans just aren't there either, you know? Like, and plus, you have to, doing what I do, you have to put stuff out. Well, and what you guys do, you have to put stuff out constantly, or else there's no hiatus in what we do. Like,
right.
Take a break.
I have not missed a show, an episode of this show. I mean, a new episode has come out twice a week, or at least we started once a week, once or twice ever. My father died on a Thursday. I did the show that Monday. I mean, that is what it is. You know, that's just how it is. But I do think that you attribute what you did, a big part of, has how you build an insanely loyal fan base that lasts with you because they saw you 20 times when there were 10 people in the room, well, and now they will die for you.
And the commitment, though, that we made the same commitment you did, only we made that, you know, we started in 94 and 96. The four of us stood in a room and we had just finished a show. And I was like, guys, I think I've got it figured out. I think I know the course. I think you just, you have to basically all sign on right now. You have to trust me 100%. And here's the deal. The band will always come first. And man, did it cost us relationships and brothers and sisters and cousins. And we didn't go to weddings. We didn't go to funerals. We only did this. And was it worth it? I mean, yeah, you know, but I mean, there's
definitely... I don't like the way your voice went up at the end of that, you know.
I mean, you know, I've been divorced twice, you know.
Yeah, I know. And you even said that nowadays the touring schedule had to change because you have kids and you have a new wife, a newer wife, or whatever you want to say, a second wife. So it is. Yes, James, you were going to say something.
When I also was swatting a gnat. A gnat broke in my hat. But here's the truth. He said you didn't like his tone, but I could read behind the lines because comics do this at the back table a lot. It's a yeah with a little bit of that of the I don't know, because you're supposed to have a little bit of that I don't know. It's a clearly yeah. Like you feel guilt. Like I've said the same things out loud. It's like I miss so many weddings and funerals, and I feel that I'm supposed to feel worse than I do. But for the most part, I don't, because I have the greatest job in the goddamn world, and it completes me to be on stage. And I'm guessing the same for you, my good friend. Even though, holy shit, all the business is in that. I was thinking about this. It used to be the opposite. When we were kids in the 80s, you remember like George Lynch and those guys ended up having real jobs and it looked weird. And now it seems like people were like, you know, I was running a Fortune 500 and I just fell into playing guitar and just figured it. Like people were really successful in business and crushing. And then like, fuck it. This just happened. It's crazy how
I wasn't successful by any means. And that was the thing. I was living, you know, fucking whatever. What do they call it? Hand to mouth or whatever. Like I was tired of being responsible all the time. You know, I really never got a chance to be a young adult. Even when I was in college, I didn't participate in the college life. You know, I was working 80 hours a week, you know? And so really that was the thing for me is like, you know, I'm just going to go try this for a few years. What's the worst thing that could happen? I have to come back and get a job or something.
Was there a couple of times where it was really close? We're like, all right, we gotta pack this up. Like it's not working.
Only two times ever. One time, actually after we had a record deal, you know, broken down in San Jose, no money, no way to get home. Nobody was buying our record. You know, it was just very, very hopeless and honestly just embarrassing and degrading as to where I felt like we were, where I was in my life. And then, the other time was 2013 when I was getting a divorce and, you know, obviously, again, sort of, you know, as Jamie was saying, you look back on those things that you miss and it was worth it. But, you know, when you start to get so, and by the way, I should also say that I am about a 98% success rate on never missing anything that my kids ever did. Like I made every game, I made every dance recital, like I managed it, you know, I did that thing. But did I 100% allow my relationship to go to shit because it was, this is the time commitment that I've got to do in order to do this. And yeah, I did, you know, I fucking let my marriage go to shit. And, you know, that's, I take my part of the responsibility for that. Cause I was still putting the band first.
Right. You know? And, this segues to the shit comment quite beautifully. I feel, I believe the name of the band Bowling for Soup is a play on Bowling for Shit, which was a Steve Martin thing, which I got to meet him once. I'm curious if you, A, did you ever meet him? And B, what's some of the names that didn't make it if you ended up with Bowling for Soup?
Oh my God. So this is a great question. First of all, I'm scared to meet Steve Martin because I know that he can be very serious. Yeah. And I don't think that would really turn me off as much as I just wouldn't want it to feel like he didn't enjoy meeting me, if that makes sense. You know, like I don't really need like a fucking cannon to go off or anything, but at least sort of just like maybe a bit of eye contact and just sort of like a, you know, it's like whatever. So I've been very, very fortunate in the fact that most of the really, really famous people that I've met, it felt pretty good. So we, whatever. So no, I never met him. But what was the second part of the question?
What were some of the band names that didn't make it if you ended up with Bowling for Soup?
Yeah, this is a good one. So Jerky Boys were really big at the time.
Good. We've had him on a couple times on the show. Love that guy.
Yeah. So Sizzle Chest was in the running. And then we had another one that was in the running, Rubberneck. And Rubberneck was actually, we were leaning towards Rubberneck, but a band from Texas called the Toadies released an album called Rubberneck.
Right.
And we were like, well, obviously we can't use that now. And so it became just this whole like, well, we've literally got nothing and we can't say shit, guys. Come on. Like, what are we going to do? So
that's really funny. Sizzle Chest is spectacular.
Sizzle Chest is pretty great, though.
Yeah. So
who do we want? Sizzle Chest. Yeah.
When I say sizzle, you say chest.
Exactly. See, that would have been good.
So, I mean, that actually segues a little bit into it because you said I met a lot of celebrities. Obviously, there's a song on the new record, which we'll get into in a minute, called I Want to Be Brad Pitt. But you have had songs throughout your career that mention other celebrities, be it Megan Fox, Taylor Swift, etc. Have you ever met any of them with the ones that you plug in songs?
Man, that's hard. I don't know. It's so fuzzy because I've mentioned so many. There's not one that's memorable to me, if I'm being completely honest. But I've heard for sure that, like, I heard through the grapevine that Taylor Swift thought that award show Taylor Swift was funny. And I wouldn't really. And what's really crazy is that Megan Fox, Dear Megan Fox, I never actually released that song. We just sort of like snuck it out there because at the time I was worried that I was so much older than her and I didn't want it to appear creepy.
You're speaking my language, friend.
Well, then I married a girl that's 18 years younger than me. So it's just, so we're back to the rock and roll thing. I've definitely, I got to tell you my Val Kilmer story, actually.
Please. I actually spoke to him not that long ago because someone on our network is friends with him. So I got to do like a Zoom call with him for a few seconds, which was kind of cool. I didn't see the movie yet, but let's hear the Val Kilmer
story. Did you play shirtless volleyball with him? That's all I want to hear, buddy.
Nobody needs to see that from either one of us, if I'm being completely honest. So we were doing Jimmy Kimmel our album called The Great Burrito Extortion Case. So it's like our third time on there. So we were pretty comfortable and like kind of walking in and out of dressing rooms or whatever. And it's a really, at the time, I'm sure that things continually changed because the first time we went on there, it was just open bar and everybody was shit faced and it was crazy. But by the third time, it was really laid back and stuff, but not quite as insane. Anyway, we had a song on The Great Burrito Extortion Case called Val Kilmer. And in this, it's basically just about how I always thought that the movie of my life would be like this comedy, not necessarily a tragedy, kind of thing, comedy tragedy thing. And so anyway, in the song, okay, so I'll tell you that as the punchline. So we're there to promote our song called High School Never Ends. And turns out Val Kilmer is the special guest of the night or whatever. So, you have the guest and then you have the B guest and then the band, right? We're the band. His son Jack was with him and then Jack was a Bowling for Soup fan. So this is 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in to take a photo and they were super excited and it was great. And we were excited and like freaking, I mean, Real Genius is in my top five favorite movies of all time.
Great movie. Yeah.
I mean, so he comes in, we all take a picture or whatever. And we gave Jack a copy of the CD, not really thinking much of it until we have the oh shit moment where he's out there with Jimmy Kimmel during his interview. And Jimmy Kimmel goes, hey, coming up next, we got Bowling for Soup. And he goes, I heard you met the guys last night. He goes, backstage. Right. Yeah, I met him backstage, whatever. Nice guys. Whatever. Well, they've got a song on here called Val Kilmer. Have you heard it? Yeah, it's great. It's great. In the middle of the song, Val Kilmer, I go, it goes, give me Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Belushi, or even Val Kilmer. He was funny in Real Genius. And then I go, Top Secret was funny too, but he sucked as Batman, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm going, I go, oh man, this is not good. And everybody's like, no, it went fine. What do you mean? And I go, dude, they're going to get in the limo on the way home. And Jack is going to go, hey, Dad, let's hear your song.
Oh, man.
And so anyway, that's the base. So I, his tour manager kept coming in and say, hey, Val writes music in New Mexico. He's a big fan of yours. He wants you to come down and write. I never got that call. So I'm assuming that's probably why.
Also, I gotta be honest. I kind of liked him as Batman.
I didn't like him as Batman.
I don't think that movie's good, but I think he was fun.
This is what sucks about my job is that I can say shit and not really even know. I never saw that movie.
That's hilarious.
Funniest.
Never even seen him as Batman. I don't know.
So if you write a George Clooney song, you're going to say how good he was as Batman.
Did you not like him as Batman?
Buddy, that movie's double F, baby.
That was a hard movie to watch.
That is no bueno. And anyway,
naming celebrities, one of the first singles off the new record, I Want to Be Brad Pitt. I have to ask, how did you find Cyrus, the guy in the video? Because he's great, and it's just hilarious to watch him in the video. How did that come about?
Man, so the directors that we have not made a video with outside people in a long time. We've been just self-sufficient since we got dropped in 2009. And since then, I've directed the videos. We've done everything on our own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, videos have come back to the point where you really do need to kind of like put a little effort into it. And I've just got, again, so much going on. I don't want to direct videos anymore. I was just like, I want to get another somebody to do this. So we actually, for the first time, went out and got pitches, and you basically have people write these treatments and they come to you and you read them over. And this one from the guy named Scott Felix, he was just, you know, it was right along what I wanted to do. And he goes, and I've got this buddy, Cyrus, and he already had the photo in there, and it was like of him. And I was just like, oh my God, he's so great. He goes, and also I know a guy that's actually been Brad Pitt's stand-in. So not in the video, not only do we have Cyrus and you know, him sort of like doing the Brad Pitt looks and stuff, the guy at the very end has, if you watch the video, he actually has been Brad Pitt's stand-in before.
So, oh, that's fucking cool. That's
until
a nice
everybody, until everybody figured that out, there was a bit of a little hype where they were like, holy shit, they got him in the video.
That's really great. That's really fucking cool.
We did try.
All right, before we go any further, have you ever had a friend that has a guy, you know, like somebody that is a friend that just knows somebody? I tell you, Big J is always asking me about a doctor. I know tons of doctors because I'm old. You got to know doctors. You always got to look for someone that knows someone or whatever. But let's say you're looking for auto parts. Here's your guy, rockauto.com. No need to worry anymore. Just head over to rockauto.com, and that's your guy. They've been in the business for 20 years. They have all the parts you could possibly need at the best possible prices because now they're your guy. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Just go to rockauto.com. They have every auto part you could think of at reliably low prices and always in stock. rockauto.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. The car market is crazy hot, so now's the time to go check out rockauto.com and get every part you need at very, very low prices. How low? They don't even have a discount code. That's how low. But when you do buy something from rockauto.com, tell them you heard about them from the SDR show. rockauto.com. All the auto parts you need at amazing prices. All right, let's get back into it. There's a lyric on the first track, Greatest Band of All Time, that you drank a beer on every continent but one. Is it Antarctica? What's the one continent?
Yeah, it's definitely Antarctica. That's I think only Metallica has done that, right? I know.
It's one. Although I heard it's not as hard to get to anymore. Like they're trying to make it. There's a guy that puts up TikTok videos from Antarctica all the time. I don't know. I would love to say that I've been on every continent. I think I've been on four.
I think Bourdain did an episode in Antarctica where he got drunk with them. It looked like the least fun of any episodes of the Bourdain episode show, including the sad last one. And
is it true? I'm going to ask you a quick question that you wanted to name the album originally. Stream the shit out of this album. Fuckface. Is that, that actually true?
That really was the working title. And it came down to, I don't want to say a vote, but it came down to, I just, I thought Pop Drunk Snotbread had a little bit more legs than it did. It did not grab people the way that I thought it would. So I wish, and Chris was right, it was Chris's idea to call the album stream the shit out of this album Fuckface. That's right. What we should have called
because
it.
So people don't realize it's a play on words for Pop Punk's Not Dead.
That's right.
And the album is called Pop Drunk Snotbread. First of all, you should have a recipe for some sort of Pop Drunk Snotbread, which would be like undercooked bread with alcohol in it. That would be fun.
There's an idea for you, right? Steal that
album. And then correct me again. I could be wrong sometimes. James, like that? Did you not like? Did you? Are you
going to eat bread with snot in the mother?
No. Undercooked bread, so it's soft in the middle, and there's alcohol in it. So there you go.
It's got to be some way that we could do it for Halloween or something.
Yeah,
right?
There's a way to do it. James, stop being such a party.
Snot is in the. Who's going to put snot? Hey, what's this? Is snot bread? Excuse me.
Yeah, Pop. Come on. If it came in the booklet with the CD, if anyone ever bought CDs anymore, I would make the Pop Punk Snot Bread. I would do it.
Good. We'll make it next to Puke Quiche. I'm sure that'll be real popular.
You know, we did that one time for one of our live DVD box sets. It came in a little pizza box. Uh-huh. And we all gave recipes.
That's brilliant.
And it actually went over really, really well. Yeah. So,
see, James, so shut your fucking mouth, James.
I'm sure he didn't have goddamn booger bread and fucking and Mocos tea and shit, you stunod. I like the idea, except snot is in the title. If you did anything else, but you're like, you're so offended. Snot, I mean, yes. I'm not wrong. If we were in court, the judge would be winking at me during my defense.
Who did the budget Morgan Freeman on the pee break track?
Oh man, so I love sort of when people ask me stuff like this because I feel like I'm pretty resourceful, and it's always funny to me that I got our Morgan Freeman on the album for $40 off of Fiverr.
Oh, that's great. I love that. We are my network, Gas Digital, our logo was done on Fiverr for $20.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like I get voiceover guys on there all the time to do this rant. Yeah. So Jarrett Goes to the Movies, our podcast, we're about to rebrand again. Every time we rebrand, I go and I need like three or four voice guys to do different things. I go, that costs 20, 30, 40 bucks, you know, whatever.
That's really funny. I know. I think the podcast is on a break till September, right? Is that what I read?
We are. That one is. Yeah. Rockstar Dad is still going. We actually took a few weeks off because I was off. On vacation, I was doing an acoustic tour. We're going to actually try to keep episodes coming this summer. Rockstar Dad Show is a little easier to take weeks off because we're on a network, we're on Adobe, and so we can do reruns. Mm-hmm. And as long as we don't have a sponsor that week, Jarrett Goes to the Movies is crowdfunded, so really you sort of need to do an episode every week if you're going to do that. So we basically just took the whole time off, and then that way nobody's getting charged to support the show and all of that.
Well, I mean, the trick is, look, where we run a network here is spend a weekend, bang out six of them, and then when you again go back to doing them once a week, and then every once in a while you go to the old group of them and throw one out there. To get back into it, so then I don't know shit about wrestling, but I know James does, right? So again, I love, because I'm wrong a lot, so I always got to put that in. There's a chick named Alexa Bliss. Apparently, she's a fan of yours. Your son was a fan of hers. Mm-hmm. You went there and you're like, yeah, people tag me in this chick's images. She wore a Bowling for Soup t-shirt. So you wrote a song for her birthday, and then it ended up being her walkout song. Is that about right?
You're close. He's now 16, but back when he was, I guess he was 12, 11 or 12, he was really into wrestling for a very short time. Mm-hmm. And so I took him to a few of the matches and I had been tagged in a bunch of stuff with Alexa Bliss. And as she walked out, I said to him, I go, that girl likes my band. And he goes, no. And I showed him the photos because I'm a great dad and because she looks really good in the photos. and he goes, you should message her. And I go, okay. And so I sent her a DM. It was probably Twitter, because I'm not sure if I was Instagramming yet. Anyway, she answered right back. She was just like, oh my God, are you here? And I was like, yeah. She goes, are you backstage? And I'm like, no, I am in the highest possible you can get. Like, I don't know if I can make it backstage before you leave, you know? Anyway, we just got to messaging back and forth. I sent her some merch. She sent my kids some stuff, and she invited us to go to Royal Rumble that year. Mm-hmm. I took my family to Royal Rumble, got to meet everybody. It was great fun. And so she and I just got to be friends. And it's just the kind of music that I thought that I was just like, I thought there was a missing niche. Like wrestling, it's all cock rock, you know, and which is fine, but it's like, that's not all wrestling fans listen to. Like a right. bunch of pop punk fans are wrestling fans. So I thought I should just write her a song. It doesn't necessarily have to be her walk up, but, and so, yeah, I sent it to her on her birthday and she was very happy. And so it never was her walkout song, but here's the sad part. Pre-COVID, or, you know, it, when COVID was hitting, WrestleMania was coming that April or May, I guess. And we were going to walk her out live. Like, so we were going to,
that's cool,
WrestleMania, which for a band is kind of the equivalent to Saturday Night Live. Like, it's just kind of one of those things where it just doesn't really get any bigger than that.
Right.
So as one of the total bummers besides, you know, 2 million people dying. But
nah, screw them, right? High five.
That came out of this whole thing.
That's cool. So that actually brings me to, you're helping me segue nicely. From what I understand, pre-COVID, the plan was to do what I always think bands should do these days is release singles. You know, then no one gives a fuck about albums anymore for the most part. Release singles, then maybe do a box set for your fans and blah, blah, blah. But then COVID hits, and not only do you put out a full new, I like saying BFS. I don't know if anyone says that, but I'll say BFS album.
Yeah, you can.
But then you also said, fuck it. I'm going to go back to my, I was born in Texas. I'm going to go back to my Texas roots and put out a solo album that's all country called Just Woke Up. And you did both of them during COVID. And now how the fuck do you figure out what you're promoting, how you're touring, what you're doing? Is it a big clusterfuck?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is to be like, really, yes. So, yeah, first of all, you are right. Bands shouldn't do albums anymore. You should do albums only for certain things. Like if you're doing a re-record or if it's an anniversary or whatever, you just have some sort of plan, because I'm living it right now. Like our Bowling for Soup's new album that we made or whatever, it's like, it's out, but people don't give a shit about the songs that we haven't released as singles, you know?
Right.
So good news is we have released four of the songs as singles. We have another one coming out, but that's the whole thing. It just continues to prove the point that the album itself is dead. Sure, people like it. You know, your hardcore fans are stoked. But as you said, you know, put out 12 singles and then wrap it all up in a package right. and print 500 of them for the hardcores.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the reason we did it was because we wanted to spend time together. Like it was like, man, we're on Facebook every night. You know, we were doing these live band meetings and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, I miss you guys. What's the easiest way to go hang out? And, you know, like we can tell our wives we're working, you know? And, so we went and made a record. And, so yeah, that's Pop Drunk's Not Bread. It's out now. And then I got home from that. And, my buddy Zach, who did the country record with me, was like, you've been talking about doing a country record for 10 years. And like, you got nothing but time, you
right.
know, like, let's just do it. We wrote the whole record over text message and recorded
it. Wow, that's so cool. You wrote it through text message? That's cool.
Whole thing. Like all through like just voice memos, just redoing and doing each other's lyrics or whatever, and then sending each other acoustic demos back.
Is that why one of the tracks is called Eggplant Emoji Smiley Face?
Yes, it is. Well, that and, you know, But yeah, you know, and so, but yeah, the one thing that's that to try and keep it all straight, I use my middle name, which is Ray. So for country, I did Jarrett Ray Reddick, just in hopes that the algorithm will catch up at some point so that if you look up my country stuff, it's not like, sounds like Alkaline Trio, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's more like, it's, I'm hoping that I'll get grouped into those other things.
I mean, what happens if you have to make a decision? Do I go out on tour solo as a country artist, or do I go out on tour with Bowling for Soup? Especially since you're already committed to the tour with Less Than Jake and Aquabats. Like, assuming, let's say that it hits and Just Woke Up is now a big thing on country radio.
Yeah, it's sort of already happening. I mean, I am turning down a few things here and there, but look, Bowling for Soup is my number one. It's, you know, again, we as we talked about 96, I gave it the most biggest commitment of my life. Right. And I have, and I follow through with it. And my guys don't, they do the same thing. I mean, you know, we put our kids, we're all dads. I mean, three of us are dads now. So yeah, we do put our kids first. And it's like, you know, if this guy's like, hey man, I really want to do this or whatever. Like, can we take this day off and I'll just fly home? Right. We do that kind of thing. But Boeing for Soup will always get, you know, the number one and my time. But we're also a band that tours cyclically on albums, and then we just do one-offs. So basically after this summer, I've already done the UK twice this year. We will have covered the US. We're not planning on doing any Japan or Australia this year. So I have the whole rest of the year to focus on country.
Okay, and,
so that's my thing. And then I'm going to hit the ground running in 2023. It'll be more of a country leaning year because BFS will go to doing more fairs and like I said, like a weekend here or a weekend there. Whereas, right. but I'll always work the country thing around Bowling Green.
I mean, and also, you know, I would say that the Pop Drunk is definitely seems more like a I'm older now reflective kind of record. Right. Where even I felt like you put the pee break in there because hey, we're all 50 something. You got to take a pee break every now and then. Right, it is what it is.
It's reflective, I think, because of the way that it went down. I mean, I didn't have a record written. And then mm-hmm. I was just like, what could we do? Ah, let's just go to the Poconos in a couple of months and record an album. I had to write it. So on my mind was, you know, gosh, look at all this shit we've accomplished. And this is crazy. And I miss these guys and all that. So there's a crazy amount of reflection on it.
Yeah, like getting old sucks is on there. That's all things that make you feel like it was just a reflective time.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But then you've got the wouldn't change a thing where, you know, it is sort of like that. And there's greatest of all time, which is super reflective. So yeah, very much just an anthemic album. And I'm really proud of us, man. I actually do believe that we're the greatest band that's ever lived. Like I really do.
Now you're segueing me into this other question. I thank you so much, Jared, this whole time. So I've listened to you a bunch of times and how much you love this new record. And I'm a fan and I enjoy it very much. And you say it's one of your favorite records next to the biggest record that you guys have ever had. You love this record.
Yeah.
Is there, when you look at the 11 albums that Bowling for Soup has put out, is there one that you're like, yikes, that wasn't that good?
No, I mean, the only one that's even would even be the only one that even be considered that would be Fishing for Wooze, which is the album we did when we got dropped. And the only reason I would ever say that is because there are three or four songs that I kind of reworked that hadn't been picked, that we didn't pick for other albums before. Mm-hmm. But there's such strong other songs on there that I don't feel like it's a throwaway record. I mean, like Motley Crue hates Theater of Pain. I don't feel like that about
right.
that. I mean, it's got Turbulence on it, and we play Turbulence all the time. And Turbulence was sort of the theme for the Bowling for Soup fan page and fan clubs and stuff for the whole COVID time, you know, so that record gave us that. So no, I definitely don't. It's more of the fact that like, I wish I would have tried harder. Like Drunk Dynasty, for example, was a really good record, but I made that one like after my divorce and stuff. And I was just sort of like, you know, I don't know.
That explains the title of the song, The Bitch Took Everything. I get it all now. So now,
all right, before we go any further, you know, everywhere across the board, you hear things about prices going up everywhere, whether it's meat, whether it's rent, whether it's gas, it doesn't matter. It's all going up except at one place, Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. They have been a Gas Digital and SDR show sponsor since, I don't know, let's say 2 years, something like that, maybe 3 years, some crazy long time. That price has never gone up. The $60 kilo, $60 for a kilo of Kratom, and it's high quality curated Kratom direct to you at wholesale prices, just $60. You don't know how long that Kratom's been sitting around at the gas station, at the bodega. You just want to get it direct from the source. These guys are creating their own blends. It's all coming direct to you from YoKratom.com, and you're just paying $60 for that kilo? That crazy. That'd be crazy. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. I know you're going to do a song for us, right?
Yeah.
I have a few more questions, but why don't we get the song in first? Are you doing something that is off of your solo? Are you doing something from the new Bowling for Soup? Or are you doing your go-to karaoke song of Here I Go Again?
Yeah, Here I Go Again, or I Believe in a Thing Called Love, actually.
Oh, it's a good one.
Good one.
Are you going to do something on Theater of Pain so you can convince Nikki and Vince that they're wrong?
I was doing a version of I don't know it well enough to play it for you right now, but during the quarantine part of the pandemic, I was playing a lot of shows here in this room, and I did a bunch of covers, and I was doing this acoustic version of Home Sweet Home that was actually
that's cool.
God damn, it's a good song.
I should figure that out. I'm actually here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to your listeners, I would really, really like it if you would go check out the new Bowling for Soup album. I would really, really appreciate it if you would go and check out the new Jarrett Ray Reddick country album. But I feel like some of you listeners may be wondering who the hell I am. And we really haven't talked a lot about back catalog or any of that stuff.
Well, I tend to focus on the new stuff, you know.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So thank you very much for not asking me, you know.
To explain 1985 for the 400th time? No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I was going to say, I'm going to play a song. Actually, why don't I play Turbulence?
All right, I'm going to mute myself. James, you do the same.
All right. Actually, you know what? Now, this was an upbeat interview, and we said shit and stuff. Let's just... Let's do a fun song. All right, I'm going to do Almost. Here we go.
I almost got drunk in school at 14, where I almost made out with the homecoming queen, who almost went on to be Miss Texas, but lost to a slut with much bigger breasts. Almost dropped out, moved to L.A., where I was almost famous for almost a day, and I doesn't cut it. Almost loved you. I almost wish you would have loved me too.
Usually I have a kazoo here, but I can't find it.
I almost held up a grocery store where I almost did 5 years and then 7 more. Cause I almost got popped for a fight with the thug. Cause he almost made off with a bunch of the drugs that I almost got hooked. And if I can't fit it in, I'll keep it all to myself. I almost wrote a song about you today, but I tore it all up and then I threw it away. And I almost had you, but I guess that doesn't cut it. Almost had you, and I didn't even know it. You kept me guessing, and now
man, that was great. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Wow, so much fun. That was off the big album, of course, A Hangover You Don't Deserve. And Butch Walker was a part of that. And I feel that a lot of people don't realize the dude from South Gang and Marvelous Three
yeah.
became a legendary songwriter. And I think a lot of people realize that.
Producer, songwriter, too. I mean, he's done, well, now it's crazy, but, you know, did all that, like the second and third Avril Lavigne records, all the big Pink stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's crazy now what he does. It's, you know, it's like way out. I mean, he did the new Green Day record.
Yeah, he does. I mean, people don't understand. Like, he started out with fucking Tainted Angel from South Gang, and then the Great Marvelous Through Ready, Sex, Go, which is one of the best rock records. I love that record. It's not on Spotify, but God damn it, that's a great record. But he doesn't get the accolade I feel he deserves from the mainstream, because his solo records, even though they're great, they don't sell well for whatever fucking reason.
You know, he's a musician's musician. And the thing about him is he's made a career, a very, very successful career as a writer and a producer. He doesn't have to, you know, he plays to good sized rooms and they're full.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a god in Georgia. You know, he's.
Yeah. He's, I mean, honestly, he's a musician's musician. And, you know,
do you ever think about working with him again or no?
We actually were just texting about that the other day. I was telling him that I would love to do a country song with him. And of course, he's the sweetest human in the world, and said that he's down. It would really, you know, he would need to have the time to do that. Right. And I'm very, very understanding, you know, of that. I'm not, you know, because everybody at every level, you do what you got to do, you know what I
right.
mean? He is the most humble. I mean, you could text him anytime and he texts right back and you're just like, how does he have the time to do that? Like, he's constantly working and, but he's an amazing husband, amazing dad, amazing guy.
Going back, I think, you know, South Gang did something. Him and I technically are what I like to call wiener cousins.
Oh, neat. Oh, good. Right. Well, he will tell you some stories. He's wiener cousins with a lot of peeps.
I'm sure he is. Okay. A couple other quick things. Then we're going to do the first, because we're almost out of time. Number one, I like that I heard that Garth Brooks, apparently big fan of Bowling for Soup. Very cool.
Yeah, that's a true story. So I talk about that in the first song on the country record. I say, you know, one time in Las Vegas, Garth Brooks said he was a fan. True story. We met at a charity event in Las Vegas, and I happened to be just standing there, and I was like, hey man, that was a great, he did his, he was doing like a one man acoustic thing at the time. And it was freaking great. Whether you're a Garth Brooks fan or not, like he's just a fucking amazing entertainer. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And as I was just like, man, that was really cool. It was cool to hear the story and, you know, the stories about, cause he would go like, you know, you don't think that there's a rock and roll influence or something, and he'd be playing like some Bob Seger song, mm-hmm. and then he would blend it into like one of his huge hits or whatever,
that's cool.
and like
that's
Cordially or whatever. And you'd go, what, you know? And like, so very, very, it was just a cool experience. Anyway, this is one of my favorite stories of all time. I just go, somehow it comes up that I'm a musician. He goes, oh, you're a musician. So you in a band or something? I, yeah, I'm in a band called Bowling for Soup. And he just goes, oh, you guys are busy. And I was like, cool. Oh, how do you know that?
That's fucking cool. That's really cool.
So that felt pretty good.
And then the last question before we do the first, is it true that you're pining to get on The Masked Singer? Is that really true?
So I'm not pining to get on there. In fact, I say all the time, I'm not famous enough, but everybody.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I think I would slay on that show. Like,
I would get a kick, by the way. It's hard to cut you off, but all the time they guess like, oh, is it The Rock? Is it Jason Momoa? And then ends up like, oh, it was Jared from Subway. It's never a fucking A-lister. You know, they always make these crazy guesses.
It's just, and I guess that's how they keep you watching the show, because you're just like, could it actually be that? You know, I've got to see it if it is. I mean, it's smart. But I would do it. All I say is people bring it up all the time. And there's like people that are, we're going to start a petition or whatever. And I'm just saying, look, I'm not going to be involved in any of that. But if I get the call, I'm in.
That's cool. I like it. All right, we got to do the first and wrap this up.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask everybody this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we mean a concert you went to on your own volition that we're going to know, not some local nowhere Texas band we never heard of, something right. that we know that you went to.
So first, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is pretty easy for me on my own because my parents took me to concerts all the time, but it was always like the people that came through town, you know, so right. it was awesome. And it goes into my whole country thing because it was Jerry Lee Lewis or Tammy Wynette or, wow. you know, super cool people to see, but it wasn't, you know, as rock and roll as my first like actual rock and roll concert was Night Ranger.
Wow. I love that one. I got to hang out with him a few times. I became somewhat friendly with him, with Jack Blades for a bit, just a fucking cool dude. Okay. Now I know you're not a big drug guy in general, but the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Oh, I've never done any other drug than weed. Oh,
okay. So how old were you the first time you did weed?
28.
Wow. That's fucking late.
I'm part of the just say no generation. Like I didn't do anything.
Right.
Oh, that's wild. Some, but I didn't really even drink until like 26. But mm-hmm. yeah, 28. I was we were already in Bowling for Soup. We were at our manager's grandmother's house in like the middle of nowhere, Michigan. And we were around a campfire and I was just like, all right, you know what? I'll ride the rides. And so I just remember just obviously laughing and, you know, all of that. And everybody makes fun of this. I apparently just said, is this as high as we're going to get? And then we watched the movie Scream and I was,
oh boy.
It was not a good choice. I was literally terrified. I went to bed sure. all paranoid. I didn't know, you know, like, and so, but yeah, since then I will partake every once in a while, but I've never done any like actual drug. I would do shrooms under the right mm-hmm. circumstances, but I never have gotten the chance.
Okay. And now the first time you had sex.
Okay. So first time I have sex, it's actually in the song My Hometown, where I say, I thank my brother for not getting mad when I humped his girlfriend. He was five wow. years older than me, and he and his girlfriend were on the outs, and I was a 17-year-old kid. I was started talking to her. And we talked on the phone a few times and she met me at my band practice.
Wow.
And yeah, she was still in her work clothes. And so we did it in the hallway of my practice place. And I thought I peed in her because it felt like so much came out, you know, and I was just like, man, I think I might have peed. And turns out I did not pee in her, but and thankfully I was not in that relationship in some way for the rest of my life after that. But
I mean, know. That's crazy for so many reasons. Was your brother mad at you?
No, he wasn't even mad at me. He was just because he's my older brother, and he
happy didn't pee in her.
He thought it was funny, but he was just like, "Hey, thanks." Because to be honest, I really was having trouble deciding whether or not we were going to break up or not, but this right. sort of helps with the decision.
And when you told the girl, I think I may have peed in you. Did yeah. you go, what? Or did
no, she was just like, oh my God, you're so cute. You know, because you know, I was very, very inexperienced. That's I just remember this. Like I was only in there like a couple of times or, you know, I think probably 25, 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then there it went. And I just remember her going, oh, like that. And I like, could you know how you could still hear sounds, you know, from your pet? I could still hear it, like that's the exact great. Tone and everything.
That's fucking awesome. How old were you? You said 17?
17, yeah.
Yeah. I've said this on the show, but just the ending of my story, when I saw the girl years later and told her that it was my first time, she went, oh, well, that explains a lot.
Like,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
It was yeah. pretty horrible. All right. So now the 11th album, Pop Drunk Snot Bread, is out now. The solo release, Just Woke Up, is out, his Texas homage, if you will. Jared Goes to the Movies podcast is on hiatus. Rockstar Dads is still coming out, though. The Back for the Attack tour with Less Than Jake and the Aquabats, dates are up on bowlingforsoup.com. And BFS_official is where you can follow the band on Instagram. Am I leaving anything else out, sir?
Honestly, just go to jarrettreddick.com, and that's got all my podcasts, all my voiceover stuff. You can hear me doing Chuck E. Cheese and Phineas stuff and all of that. And then if you want to go straight to country, just put the Ray in there, Jarrett Ray Reddick. And I'm on Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff. And, you know, I'm super fun to be around.
All right, James, your plugs?
The James Madden, Instagram, The James Madden, YouTube. On YouTube is James Madden, the check spot. It is my film of the worst part of the comedy show, the check spot. Everyone pays their bills. No one pays attention. I do a Q&A. It's fucking crazy. It's in black and white. It looks like early Jim Jarmusch directed a comedy special where chaos ensues. Check it out. James Madden, the check spot. Yeah.
Wow. I thought you were going to have a really strong yeah at the end and you dialed the yeah back. I think Shannon has had to leave. Shannon, you're not there, right? She's not there. So I'm going to plug her show first. She has a show called The Thing Is. That's about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts, where people come on and tell stories about a bad date that they went on, a fight they had, and whether or not they believe in ghosts or a ghost story. So I'm going to ask you, don't give an indication to me and James, click in. Does Jarrett believe in ghosts? And I think it's a hard one, but my instinct says no. James, what do you say?
Man, I'm like, oh, for my last five, I'm going to go yes.
All right, Jarrett, do you believe in ghosts?
This is the thing. I'm on the fence, but I guess if I had to lean one way, I would say yes.
Oh, James gets it over
me. I covered the point spread, baby.
Oh, finally. You finally get one over me. All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called Good Sugar that I do with the founder of Juice Press. We're opening our first location coming up in a couple weeks in New York City on 3rd and 69th. I'm going to be hosting the Stone Temple Pilots, King's X, Steven Adler show with ZO2 Charity at the Paramount, July 30th. And we're going to be giving away tickets on STR in the upcoming weeks. Follow me everywhere, though, at I Am Ralph Sutton. Jarrett, we add a song every week to the playlist. You said that you're going to release a new Bowling for Soup song. What song is the new single?
It is called Hello Anxiety.
And, all right, so we will add that to the playlist. Hello Anxiety, I think something we all can relate to. Thank you so much for being on the show, dude. It was a lot of fun. And we'll see you all next time on the SDR show.
Take care.
Oh, good Lord. Somebody forgot to let the cat out. Tick-tock alarm clock. Someone broke the coffee pot. Flat tire Uber driver. Smells like a Budweiser. Late for work again. Holy shit, it's been a hell of a week. Can't it stop? You're right. Dinner sucks, movie too. Walk the dog. Stepped in poo. Feels like I'm alone. She's always on her phone. Scrolling, 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 scrolling. Here we go again. Hello. Hello, anxiety. It really sucks to see you. Hello. Hello, anxiety. I've been expecting you. I could never get through one day without you hanging around. So hello. Today. Surprisingly, I feel okay. Soaking up the sunshine. I guess the meds are working fine. But then the feeling comes like Gary playing drums inside my chest. Pounding, pounding. Here we go again. Wow.
Listening to the SDR show.